You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey, it's Malls. Welcome to Please Advise, episode 10. Today, we have a very exciting guest on, and I found her because I went on a very interesting journey over the last few months where I watched for the very first time every episode of The Bachelor I could get my hands on and every episode of The Bachelorette. Yes, it took a really long time, and no, I don't really have a life. I started following all of them on social media, all the different contestants, my favorite people, my least favorite people. I found their podcasts. I started listening to them. And then I started following Molly Mesnick from Jason's season of The Bachelor. And she one day tweeted a picture of a book written by Courtney Robertson, who won Ben's season of The Bachelor. And I was like, this is interesting. She supports Courtney because Courtney, as many of you might remember, was kind of the villain on the season. She got a lot of flack in the press and she was kind of painted as a mean girl. But I kind of like always had an affinity for her because I always have known that if I was on a reality show, I would be the mean girl. So she wrote this book, I Didn't Come Here to Make Friends, Confessions of a Reality Show Villain. I ordered it on Amazon and kind of like started reading it slowly. Page one, I started really liking Courtney. I like understood she was one of us, like she's one of me. And she like really got into it. It was like a fun, flirty summer read, which you know we love here on Please Advise. So when I Instagrammed that I was reading this book, the magical internet brought Courtney somehow to my picture. And she like wrote like, have fun reading it or something cute like that. And I flipped the fuck out. I think we were here at the podcast when I got that comment. And I flipped the fuck out and I like stopped everything to like talk about Courtney. And now she's here today. You guys, ask, believe, receive. Hi, Courtney. Thank you for being here.
Hoo-da-hoo. What's up? Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. Actually, this is such an honor and a privilege. You're the first guest that I don't know in real life. Well, now I know you.
Now we're friends.
Yeah, we're totally good friends. And I loved your book. Are you getting a lot of good feedback on it?
You know what? It's been amazing. I honestly like was terrified of writing my my life story and putting so much of myself into it. And you know, people have this idea of me. A lot of people did from the show, and it was really scary. And it really could have gone one of two ways. And it's been like I feel like I have a new lease on life. Like everyone has been so positive and you know inspired, and I'm really happy. It couldn't have gone any better.
Can you kind of explain for people that didn't watch the series what it was that people responded to negatively about you?
You know, I think it's me. It was like 24 other girls. And like,
right.
I kind of didn't hold back in my interviews. But a lot of the girls hated me and from night one. And I was kind of like, you know what? I got to a point where I was like, I don't like them either.
Right.
And I was like, I'm living with these people. We're all dating the same guy. And like in some of my interviews, like I made the mistake of being like winning and like,
yeah.
And one girl went to Ben and was like, hey, you know, she's different around you than she is us. Like, you know, that kind of started happening, like living in the house and
right.
my friends telling me that I, you know, had a couple of friends telling me like, oh, this girl said this about you or that. It felt like high school all over again. Like,
right.
You know, like the mean girls and the little packs forming and, but yeah, I definitely was feisty and I was, you know, that's how I am. I'm a little bit sassy, but it just on a highly edited show, it right. was not good for me. It was definitely, you know, it was bad.
I think that can happen to a lot of people. Like I really responded to you saying on the after the final rose when you were like, I make jokes. Like yeah. in the audience was like, what? Like no, ooh, those crickets, aren't jokes.
Like booing
those are
me.
Jokes. You were making jokes.
I was being sarcastic. And right. I was like, you know what? I just don't take life too seriously. And mm-hmm. you know, I get that I said some mean things. You know, I did. Like I don't blame the edit. Like nobody likes the person that blames the edit. You know, but there were definitely things that were a little taken out of context.
Right.
And I didn't watch my season when it was on mm-hmm. because I started watching the first night and I was like, this is really bad.
Right.
I was like, oh my gosh, right. this is going to be bad. So I watched in preparation for writing the book and I was just like floored. I was like, whoa, like that. I said that like two countries ago. Like, you know, like I was really shocked to see like, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I don't like that person either.
Yes. So, yes, and it does, like, it's an odd situation. We'll give you that credit. Like, it is really fucking weird. Like, to be with all these girls that are trying to date the same guy, you really explain the kind of first time meeting all of these girls, and it doesn't sound pleasant at all. Was there anyone in the house that you felt was, like, particularly hard on you?
You know, I could tell from night one that KCB was just didn't want to have anything to do with me.
Like, right.
Was, you know, and I really went out of my way to try to like talk to her and like she wouldn't even answer me.
Right.
You know, but I think over time, Emily was like my number one enemy in the house, the one that went to Ben and said that. And
oh, she was the one that freestyle rapped? No, that's
yeah, she did.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
that was
okay.
her, like the doctor who rapped. And, you know, and like it was weird because like I'd get along with some girls, like you'd get along, you're living with them, you travel right. with them, you know, everything with them. And then like kind of this drama started unfolding. And I was like, this is like a lot to go through to find love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wasn't like really falling for him, I would have never put myself in that situation. Like, and like for her, like going back to what she said, it's like, of course I act differently around him. I'm dating him and right. And you guys are all dating him. Like, you know, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah. What are you supposed to say? Like, I hope that like KCB really like fucks Ben tonight. Like, what are you supposed to say?
Exactly. And I mean, that was where I really took a turn. Like, honestly, like looking back, the one comment that really got me in trouble was like KCB reading the date card to me and saying like, hey, how'd that taste coming out of your mouth?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, that wasn't meant to be mean. That was mm-hmm. sarcastic. I mean, it was cute when Sandra Bullock said it and, you know, The Blind Side. But like, and I thought that she could banter with me. Like, that's how me and my friends are. We poke fun at each other. And
right.
it wasn't meant to like cut her down or, you
absolutely.
Know, hurt her feelings. And like, and she actually said like vinegar. But when it aired, they didn't show that.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, it looked bad. It looked kind of sassy.
She definitely was like the hometown sweetheart
yes.
sort of thing on the show. And that's what really fascinated me about it is because I really liked KCB a lot when I was watching her. But I'll say this, you don't have to. Her limo ride, you kind of get into it a little bit in the book, was the ugliest, craziest thing I've ever seen in my life because it just was so unfiltered and like so unaware. And also like with her parents being like essentially not Mormon, but essentially Mormon, like with their values, like very like Christian, no drinking, like it just, I mean, it was so obvious to me she was going to get voted off. Do you think that at all that speech was to try and get her on The Bachelorette, for her to be the next Bachelorette?
I don't know. I honestly, like, I think that a lot of people at that point probably aren't thinking about it. But, like, mm-hmm. then again, like, you see, like, on The Bachelorette, these guys leaving, you know, a few weeks in, and then the waterworks come on, and you're like, okay, that's a stretch, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
Like, obviously, you're, you know, that's in mind. But, you know, I don't think so. I think she really was just upset and in the moment, and I don't know. I mean, her driver took her back to my hotel.
Oh, yeah. That was tough. That was really tough.
Oh, and I like walked in and that was something else. But, you know, it's funny. I saw her in New York and I have nothing bad to say about her. Like I saw her and she was really nice to me and I was actually kind of surprised. We did a Katie Couric interview. She got the ugliest cry exit award or something. But she was really nice. And she was like, you know, they pinned us against each other. And I was kind of like, really? Like,
yeah, I was going to ask
the
you.
Ringleader. Like, I didn't really agree with that, you know. But it's like, that was like 3 years ago. She's married now. Like most,
she
is? Yeah, she got married. And like most of the girls are from my season. So, you know. But like she like came back on my season apparently and like warned Ben about me in Switzerland. Yeah. Like when he was coming home from like our overnight date.
Oh, did you
date.
Not see that?
I didn't watch that part, actually. I think I fast forwarded. And I just remember he was furious. Like, he's like, I just like had this night with Courtney. It was like right after overnight.
Yeah.
And then she's there. So I don't know what that was about. That's a bad move.
Well, wait. So it's a little awkward. I don't really talk about sex. But like, tell me about the fantasy suite, girl. Everything you can.
There's no holding back. honestly, like for me, like that's part of a relationship. And if I'm like thinking about getting engaged, like, you know, that's, you know,
and take the car for a spin.
Exactly. Totally. And like, I'm like all about passion. And for me up until that point, I mean, it was like, at that point I was like almost 2.5 months into the show.
Yeah.
And if I was dating somebody in real life, like, it's like, I don't get why so many people are so shocked to find out that that's what happens, like the time frame of it, that's like almost 2.5 months in.
Right.
Like, of course, like that's the natural course. I mean, not for everybody, you know. I know Sean did things differently and everyone has their different beliefs. But me, you know, I mean, we didn't waste any time. And it was actually like probably the best day out of all the days filming.
Of course.
Because the cameras aren't around. Yeah. Like, yeah, and I got to ask him, like, how do you feel about the girls? Like, we talked about everything. And we stayed up all night talking and other things, and it was a lot of fun.
Does anyone not fuck in the fantasy suite?
Yeah, I definitely think some people don't. I hear so many stories.
Yeah.
But, you know, like some people sleep with everybody and some people sleep with one person. Like it's different from season to season.
Right.
You know, I know that Nick got himself into some trouble on Andy's after the final rose. Did you see that?
No, I didn't get to Nick because they only have seasons. Like, it's so brutal. I'm trying really hard to get in
there. This would have been, well, Nick was on Andy's season, the one that just wrapped.
It
was like big in the press. Like, he admitted at the live taping, like, that they had slept, made love together, and it just spread like poor guy. Like, he just got like raked it, like over the coals in the media for admitting that. And I'm surprised more people haven't. Like, that's the one thing that I'd say. It's like, there really are real feelings. Like, and if that would have happened and then like he would have dumped me, I would have been furious. Like, I probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah, totally. No, totally. And 1 to 10, by the way, how has Ben in bed?
Like an 8.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Did he ever do anything weird when you guys were having sex?
Nope.
Okay, cool. So my next question that I'm like so curious about was that Ben's like a major foodie, which I did not know.
Isn't everybody a foodie?
I mean, I guess, but he like is an aspiring chef, right? Or something in a way.
Yeah. He loves to cook.
Yeah.
And San Francisco, it's like all, you know, I always say like when I went up there, like when I meet his friends, the first things that they would say to me is like, what are your favorite restaurants here? And like in LA, I get the, like, what do you do? Like, that's the question you kind of get. And then San Francisco, it's like all about food and restaurants. And have you tried this new place? And we have great food in LA too, but it's not like, I don't know, my circle of friends, it's not like this huge topic of discussion. Like,
no, most people don't even eat here.
I know, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Everyone's juicing. Everyone's over at Earth Bar getting their smoothie.
Totally. I want to know how you spent $1,000 at Whole Foods. Because that's my, like, this was like the one where I like dropped the book. Can you believe it? Out of all the things in this book, I was like, $1,000. I could spend like $200-$300 at Whole Foods. I know where that's going. But how do you spend $1,000 at Whole Foods?
Well, we needed everything. It's like, hey, we're going to cook. Like, we talked before we went to our Happy Couples, and it'd be like, we always cook cioppino, which is like, you know, seafood. So it's like clams and mussels and scallops. And like, then you need all the seasonings. And so it's really everything. But the seafood, and then like buying the meat and good olive oil, like stuff for salads. Like, it really adds up. What else did we get? I think I might have needed shampoo at one point. I think I forgot to pack my shampoo. And I was like, oh, I think I need some face wash. But, yeah, that was fun. That was like – I love Whole Foods. And I was like a kid in the candy store just like throwing stuff in the basket.
No one asked you that question yet, right?
No, that's See, a I'm really good you, question.
I have really good questions. I wanted to also know for like people who don't know, I was surprised that you guys had like happy couple weekends where you guys were able to meet up while the show was running and you got to be like normal humans together for a moment because they keep you pretty separate.
Yeah, very separate. I mean, it's kind of normal. I mean, seeing as you're holed up in a place for 3 days, like you can't go out for walks or hike or do anything. You're just inside. But I mean, I had like cabin fever one day. I was just like laughing and I was like, I have to get out of here. Like I have cabin fever. And he was like working most of the time and I was like laying around watching Netflix and watching movies. But yeah, I mean, it's crucial. And I remember being like, oh, well, we can go anywhere. Like, why don't we go to Hawaii? And then you realize you can't, the travel time. And by the time you get there and you can't leave like wherever you're at, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You'd rather spend less travel time and more time together. So
that makes total sense. Like normal people, I understand.
Yeah.
Girl, so this was one thing in your book that I really like responded to that I think the readers would also respond to is that you had a very like unusual experience in terms of packing. Like you just kept your shit real simple.
Kept it simple. Yeah.
I love that because I feel like most girls, I'm like looking at all these dresses and I'm like, where do you even hide those?
I know, right?
So most of our girls that listen to the podcast are kind of on a budget. I get a lot of on a budget questions and I was really impressed with how you were able to pull off like designer clothes or designer looking clothing on the show consistently while like keeping it pretty simple.
For less, yeah.
You got like you got an Alice and Olivia dress for like $38.
Yeah, I think $25.
Like what's up with that? So what are your tips for shopping on a budget?
I am like pretty frugal and I like to splurge every once in a while on a couple nice pieces, mm-hmm. but I love Nordstrom's Rack and I love thrift shopping. And like in Arizona where I'm from, we have below a Nordstrom's Rack, which is Last Chance. And it's like if you're ever like in Arizona, you have to go. It's definitely like embarrassing. Like you're kind of dumpster diving a little bit. Like it's in this basement, but that's where I got that dress and my first mm-hmm. night dress. I got a Dolce & Gabbana dress for like $100. So, I mean, who doesn't love a good deal?
Everyone does. Yeah.
I just like, and the other thing is you spend all this money on like a fabulous dress and you wear it once. You
right.
know? So I'm really good. Like my friends and I share a lot of stuff when we do splurge. So I borrowed a lot of clothes from my sister and my friends. And mm-hmm. But I definitely think, you know, even hell, H&M and Zara, like,
yeah.
I mean, even sometimes their stuff's a little bit pricey.
I thought that you really covered this well in the book, just like the finances of it without talking too much about it in terms of saving money when like you have a profession that you're a model.
Yes.
I'm a model. I'm also a writer. And I think actresses are the same thing. And you have to kind of just, you don't know when your next job is. Like you don't know when the next paycheck's coming in. And I think that when you first start making money, it's like a shock. Like you're like, what? Like I've never had this.
Rich.
I'm rich.
I know.
Yeah. I spent like a rapper, like my first like 2 years writing on Two Broke Girls. And like I don't have a shitload of money anymore.
Well, that's what happens. Yeah. No, and I learned the hard way. I mean, I moved to LA when I was 19. Started making $2,500 a day and these checks were rolling in and rent was cheaper then.
Right.
And I went out and bought like Louis Vuitton bags and then I realized like I got to start saving my money and I did. I had some savings and then after the show my career came to a screeching halt and then I got lucky and I had a couple commercials and had a couple old jobs renew, which really saved me. But I'm all about like save. Like I buy a couple of key pieces that are timeless and always wear them. Just take good care of them. And there's so many like with H&M and other places, even American Apparel.
Yeah.
This is LA. You know, it's like I'm not like we talked about it earlier. Like I don't go out a ton.
Yeah.
Like I live by the beach. Like you can usually find me in flip-flops and like a white t-shirt with a black bra.
Yeah, that's
that's like my go-to. And like
me just some, too, girl.
You know, like yeah. Why not? Just like something casual. So
speaking of bras, I just want to tell you. So I'm like experimenting with bras today.
Oh, I
Chrissy,
hate
the friend, turns laughing at me. So I'm wearing. I bought this like sticky bra at Target, and which is like not something I'm super. That's not a sentence I'm proud of. But I wanted to give it a test run today because I'm going somewhere on Thursday, and I'm like, well, is this bra going to work? So I'm kind of on like a weird bra journey today, and if it falls off at any point during the podcast, like I will tell the audience. You'll probably just
they look
know
good. And,
thank you
from here.
They're like low. I know I stuck it on weird at like a low place, but like I'm just weird. I'm not going anywhere tonight. So.
How does that work with your boyfriend? Have you tried that out yet?
Oh, he doesn't give a shit. Like I literally have showed up. I show up. He calls me like an unshowered lesbian every time we hang out. So no, not. I mean, he does. He's not. He's very LGBT friendly. So let's get into the calls, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, oh yeah, hit me with it.
Hey, my life situation is going like this. I'm 23. I'm successful. I just bought a brand new car and I'm working a fantastic job. I'm just doing awesome and getting my life together. But for some reason, I'm having trouble dealing with that I can't get over my stupid asshole ex-boyfriend who is a deadbeat at almost 30 years old and still lives with his parents. He treated me like shit for 3 years, and yet now that I found out he has a girlfriend, I can't get over that, and I don't know why. So knowing that you're awesome, what would you do with my shoes?
It seems like him being 30 and like living with his parents wasn't enough for you. And I guess that's because you're 23. But girl, like it just takes time. And also like avoiding him on social media completely. Courtney, what do you think?
Absolutely. Stay off social media. Like, you know, he's moved on. You know what she's getting. She's probably sitting on his parents' couch. And honestly, like just don't even try not to think about it and even start dating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there though. It's hard, you know, to get over somebody and it's easier said than done, but you know, maybe dating would help and
yeah.
You know what you're getting with this guy and you know what you're not missing.
Absolutely. And I know that like one thing I always hate, I don't know how long you guys have been broken up, is like when you break up with someone, all of your friends seem to forget all of the pain they've ever felt in a breakup. And they're like, you'll be fine. Just get over it. Not really what you said. I mean, it does sound like she's removed and like she really needs to get over it. But I will acknowledge that there's like very much a painful period there. But at the same time, girl, like, as you say, you're 23. You're successful. You have a new car. You know what's great about you. So go like enjoy that part of your life and then remind yourself that he's shitty. He lives with his parents and he's taking that out on a new girlfriend who's probably not as cute as you. So, yeah.
I love that. You nailed it.
Thanks, girl. Let's take our next call.
Hi, this is Christina. I'm a high school student in the U.S. and I have some problems with friends, you know, the kids in high school, they can be mean, but my friends in particular, they're not sometimes that nice to me. And I don't know how to deal with it because there's not a lot of nice people in my school and it's hard for me to find friends. And I'm wondering what I should do. Should I just stick it out with my current friends for my last year of high school or should I, you know, move on and find new people, even if it's hard.
You know what my advice would be is to stick it out. You're almost done. You're at the finish line after high school, after you graduate. It's going to be a whole new world for you. And, you know, just don't let them get you down. You're almost done.
Totally. I would drop them. I am so quick to cut people loose just because you don't need that drama in your life. Like, I really have like had times in my life where I'm like, well, I'm sitting alone, but I don't care because at least I'm not sitting with like a bunch of cunts. And like that happened to me my senior year. Pardon me. I know you're in high school, but I also know you've heard that word, especially if you listen to this. But yeah, I did that my senior year. I needed to do a little bit of a reinvention. And what I found out was that I could go back to kind of people that I enjoyed at previous stages of my life, like my friends from freshman year who like I used to go to punk rock shows with. They were still doing that. And like we would still have fun going out and doing that together. But I do think there's something to what Courtney says, which is that you can't place too much importance on this because you only have a year left. You're almost done.
You got it, girl. Make some new friends, too.
How do you make new friends?
I don't know. You go to the mall and pick them up or something. Yeah. Social media.
Yeah, totally. Meet, like, tons of older random men on Twitter. No, don't
do that. It
gets
better, though. It does. Yeah. I had an issue. You know, that's like everybody goes through that in high school, you know? And sometimes you got to drop the bad eggs.
That's true. Yeah, you can't let anyone make you feel bad about yourself, girl, unless it's me. Let's take our next call.
Hey, Malls, this is Lovebug, and I was calling to see what your stance is on cybercruising or stalking. My best friend's fiance has been Facebook searching his exes and past crushes and girls in general, and she has no problem with it. They've been engaged for less than a month, and she seems to be okay with that. I don't personally feel okay with it, and I was just wondering what you thought about it. All right, love your face.
Well, I don't know why your friend doesn't have a problem with this, because it means that he's clearly thinking about his exes when he should be focused on his current relationship that he's about to commit his life to. What do you think?
I don't know. I think that exes are exes for a reason. We've right. all done it. There's always that curiosity, you know, where you want to look, but it's unhealthy and it's not really fair to the person. Like, they're engaged to be married. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he's got a little bit of an addiction, and I think that that's the bigger problem, you know.
Totally.
Hopefully he's not a sex addict, or, you know, hopefully he's not acting on it. I mean, who has that kind of time to be stalking their exes all day, you know? Sounds like it's pretty frequent.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, like, it hurts. It should hurt to like look at your ex's lives, even if you're over them. Like, I don't really understand these people that are like, I'm friends with all of my exes. Like, no, you're not.
No,
because you probably weren't friends to begin with. Like, if the terms of you guys dating were like, oh, like, I think you're hot and I want to go out with you, like, then, and then like you guys start fucking, and then like all of a sudden you're like in a full blown relation, like, you were never friends. Like, I don't understand this, like, let's be friends saying like I'm detached from my former relationship. It always hurts, because if you wouldn't have broken up if it was a good thing, right? I don't know.
And also the friendship too, like, she's being a good friend, but like, you can't tell your friends. We were talking about this earlier, like, you know, I've always not liked one of my best friend's boyfriends or what she's doing, and right. your friends don't typically want to take your advice. You know, they're gonna do what they want to do, and you know, sounds like she's sticking with him.
Yeah, she's totally aware of it. And it sucks, but like, it's ultimately just going to come back to you if you like start harping on it and being like, you know, but he's doing this. And she's going to be like, why are you so fucking obsessed?
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, like, I don't know. Courtney, do you ever cyber stalk?
Not really. I mean, I more take like turns. I'm like, whoa, how did I get here? Who's this guy? He's cute. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, I don't even know this person, but I used to. It's unhealthy. You know, it's not good. It's just a time suck.
Yeah.
You know, but every once in a while I'll get curious and like, you know, check somebody out. But I think that's natural. It's like a curiosity, but I try to keep the exes in the past, in the yeah. X-file.
Chrissy, the friend turn, and I were saying the other day that we both do the same thing with Instagram stalking, where I have people that I'm obsessed with their pathetic lives, like, but I'm also, maybe they're not pathetic, but like, I'm kind of obsessed, and I'll save all of their, I'll save their timeline. I won't follow them, but I'll save their timeline for like 2 months. And so then I can like have a night where I treat myself and catch up on all of their like pathetic yeah. posts. And I'm just like, ah, like laughing and drinking wine alone in my apartment as if I'm doing better.
Feel bad. That's yeah. the thing, is it typically, it's like, wow, look at all that fun they're having. Like, it definitely makes you end up feeling worse. You
oh,
know?
I don't have FOMO. Like, I never want to be somewhere.
I don't have
somewhere.
FOMO either. Yeah, I want to be at home with a bottle of wine on the couch.
Absolutely.
Watching
what hurts
my show
is like people's dark opinions, and oh, like yeah. also like, oh, you think you're famous? Like, what? Like, what's going on?
It's crazy. It's social media is out there. It's getting crazy. It's not like it used to be with the AOL and the dial up.
No, I loved that, by the way. I really did. There was a time when I thought the internet was mine. Like, that's the truth, is that there was a very long time where I was like, oh, it's just me on this World Wide Web. And that, like, minus the worldwide part. I would definitely like an update on this call because I feel like this is all coming to a head. I think that we're going to find out that maybe there's some like Tinder action. Maybe there's some like OkCupid messages. Maybe there's some like secret booty texts, like definitely a reach out. I found out from someone the other night that this guy that she hooked up with years ago, who's in a super serious relationship, has been like texting her and being like, oh, this is never going to last. And like, that's darkness.
So gross.
Darkness. Yeah. And they're like, you know, to the world, like they're a serious couple, not to the world, but to like the people they know. So please call me back 323-450-7408 and just give me an update. It would mean a lot to me. I'm invested in your friendship now. And for the meantime, just sit back and watch the shit show. Okay, so I know I have to give you guys an incentive to love me as much as I love you. So each week I pick my favorite caller and send them a song that costs $1.29. If I announce your name at the end of the podcast, you have to email me this, your name or whatever, and like give me your email through the askpleaseadvise@gmail.com because like, why would I just like go out of my way to continue to contact you? Like, you have to contact me and listen to the show. I also give away a song that costs $1.29 to anyone or to my favorite person that retweets or reblogs or gives us 5 stars and a positive review in iTunes. I will announce that person eventually. I don't know when. All right, that's it. So while we love it very much when you call our line, it's 323-450-7408. Occasionally, we will take a letter if you email it to askpleaseadvise@gmail.com or leave it in our Tumblr inbox. We really kind of want these to be scandalous letters. I don't think you guys are fully getting that. I'm telling you, like, I want you to have been incested. And that's, like, only when you can contact me is when there's been incest or, like, something incest adjacent. But we got a real pussy email this week. Courtney's going to read it. Courtney, go for it.
Okay, I'm 26 and I haven't had a serious boyfriend in over 4 years. I become ridiculously picky, and anytime I start dating someone new, I become overwhelmed and convince myself the guy just isn't worth it. I always end up feeling guilty that I'm cutting perfectly good guys loose, and for no reason. It also seems like my aloofness makes guys try wicked hard to pry open any entrance into my life, and I'm always having to feel like, I don't like you enough yet. Stop texting me about how my cat's doing today. You don't know us on that level. I rarely start to like someone enough to be serious about them before they turn me off completely. What is my problem? Should I continue my ice-cold approach, or will I end up old and alone? Will the right guy come along to sweep me off my feet, or is that 100% bullshit and I should just settle with the best that I can? Please help. Jess from Canada.
Oh my God, wait. So can I just go right into this? Jess from Canada, I'm so surprised you're not from Boston. I was going to be like, well, you're from Boston, so there's hot guys, because you said wicked and you used it correctly. But yeah, no, you're fine. Like, you just need to learn lessons. And there is a reason why you're not sticking with these guys, which is like, you don't like them enough. And like, you should never date someone. When I was single, I took like, you know, for I think from like 26 to 29, I was like pretty solidly single. I would like date a lot. And I would like convince myself that someone was my boyfriend, but they weren't. And I would always feel really guilty about it when I would like be in a tough spot, like a sad breakup moment. And I'd be like, why didn't I just date that guy in college that was so nice to me? Or like, maybe I really fucked up when that like super cute guy was really into me and I just basically told them to like go get a life. And the answer to all these things are like, you're just not ready and you need to like learn some more skills. And the reason why you're being an ice cold bitch is because you're feeling defensive, because giving your heart up is the hardest thing you can possibly do. Feeling vulnerable is very difficult. I see you're sensitive. You have cats. I understand you. Courtney, what do you think?
You know what? I think there's nothing wrong with being picky. I've been there myself. I've gone on, you know, I've been single for 10 months. I've gone on a lot of dates. And it is awkward, though, having to be like, hey, like, I'm not interested. You know, that's been hard for me because I tend to be pretty nice. And I found that radio silence works great.
Yeah.
Just, you know, no response. But, you know, I think you just haven't met the right person yet, and just take your time. And, you know, I'd be annoyed too if someone I didn't like was asking me how my cat was doing. That's totally normal.
Yeah.
You know, it's annoying. Just be like, hey, kick rocks.
So you don't have a problem with radio silence? Because I do that too, and I've always felt like such a bitch after.
It took me a while to get there though, because I used to be like, oh, I'm busy, and like these guys are, they just keep trying. And, sometimes you just, you know, the old thing that works for me is like, oh, I got back with an ex, even if you didn't, you know?
Right, that will
turn somebody off real quick, you know? That works.
That's a smart tip. I've never heard someone say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I smart. Use that one all the time, even though I haven't. You know, that could be bad, but, you know, it works. And, you know, I think this girl, she sounds awesome. You know, she should be picky. And there's a lot of tools out there. You know, you got to sift through them.
At what point do you think it's not okay to just like cut someone off anymore? Like, do you think that you have to say something if you guys have been dating for like two months? Oh,
really?
Actually, three months.
Yeah.
Okay. That's luxurious.
But you can still like give them the hint by being like not responding right away or like not getting back to them for like a day. And then usually they're like, what's up? But then you can just be like, hey, this isn't working. Sorry. Right. Like, heart's not in it.
Yeah.
You know, your breath stinks, you suck, whatever.
Yeah, no, you can't be too direct, I'll tell you that much. But look, like, in terms of just dealing with your defensiveness, I think that what you're going to need to learn is that you just can't be mean to people, period. That was a huge lesson for me. Mm-hmm. At the end of, like, my, like, middle of the end of my 20s, like, I was dating someone who just was like, you're fucking mean. And I was like,
he said that to you?
Yeah. He's like, why are you so mean? And he's like, I really like you, and you're just like a mean girl. And I'm like, I'm not mean to everyone, but I'm mean to you. And like, I didn't realize that, like, what I really should have just done was not dated him anymore. But like, what I continued to do was like see someone that I really wasn't interested in, because I convinced myself that he was like a nice guy or the type of guy that I should have dated. And then what would wind up happening was like, I'd bully him most of the time.
Right. No. And I had a friend that did that once too. And I was like, oh my God, you're so mean to your boyfriend. Like, just get rid of him, you know? So, but that's not a bad problem to have. It sounds like she's got options, and, you know, but you seem so pleasant. I can't imagine you being mean.
When I say mean, I mean like just like busting balls, like, to sassing, the point where it's like,
you're,
you
on
know,
a roll.
It's like you don't really like you can't possibly like a person to this much and be that mean. So, yeah, I don't know. I think you're going to be fine. You just need to give it time. Also, 26 is really young.
Oh, yeah.
I talk to a lot of people. I'm 30 now. I'm eating a grape. Sorry. I'm 30 now. And I still like feel like this is a little bit old to have a kid at 36. But like, a lot of people have told me like, oh, I didn't even think about having kids till I was like 36. That used to surprise me a lot when I was like 22, 24, 25. Like, I'd be like shocked. But now that I'm 30, I realized that there was no way I was going to be ready for that sort of like heavy commitment, like being married, having like a home life at that age. You're really young. Like, just, you have to like, well, you should get concerned if you're like 40.
I completely agree. What I wanted at 25 to 30 changed. Actually, 25 to 27 changed so much. I would date a guy from 25 to 27, and I woke up one day like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This was fun, but like, this is not what I want. Like, what you want changes. And so I agree with that 100%.
27 is very formative.
Yeah. 27, 28. But then I just turned 31, and I got to tell you, like, I feel great, and I know more like now than ever, like what I want and what I don't want. And what helped get me there was having these dates and like use that time to like, you know, for information, because it's just like, hey, this is what I don't want, or I like this about him, but close, but not close enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough out there.
How old were you when you were on The Bachelor?
I was 28.
Okay.
And so I was like really serious, like I'm ready to get, you know, engaged and maybe not married right away, but like, you know, date for a year or two and then get married. So now I'm 31. I'm like, hey, you know, if it happens, great, but there's no real rush, you know?
Do you feel like that experience like traumatized you in any capacity towards like the idea of settling down?
Not really. Definitely not. I think that the thing that was the hardest for me was being engaged, and like really like, I think that heightened that relationship for me, because it was like we talked about planning a wedding and I had never gone there with somebody. So that made it a little bit harder to get over, was like not just the breakup, but like there's not going to be a wedding, returning the ring. And I liked being engaged. I liked that sense of like comfort and
totally,
like, this is it. Like, no more
security.
Dating. Security. Yeah. Like, we can call it off, you know, call it a day. And so, but no, I definitely still believe in marriage and want that. But if it doesn't happen, I'm open to that too. You know, I could be just having a partner if I met the right person.
And that's a good headspace to be in.
Yeah, I'm just like, hey, you know what? I'm 30. I just like, I'm so content and happy with like myself. I've been single. This is the longest I've ever been single. It's been 10 months and I've been dating. Yeah. I've been definitely out there and, but kind of at my own, like when at my own pace. Like if I want to go out with somebody, then I'll go out with them. And
tell me about that Neil Lane ring for a minute. Like, what was that like just to like look down and just see it? Because like that seems like, and also the heaviness on your hand.
Yeah, I actually just imagine can still like on my finger. Like, yeah. It's been like, what, 2 years? Like
cellular memory.
It is. Yeah, yeah. Like I know what that felt like. It was obnoxious though. Like I would go places. It was so big and it was honestly so not me. Like I remember being like, oh, I've always wanted a gold. Yeah. Like kind of like I like gold, a little
gold. I love yellow gold. Yeah, I'm all about that.
And like it was so not me, but I loved it anyway because he picked it out for me and the sentiment behind it. But it was so big, I would flip it around in public and like kind of hold it, like because it was embarrassing.
That's what I was gonna say.
Like,
yeah,
look at like we would stare at it constantly, and it's so flashy, and that's just so not me. Like I've always just wanted like a, you know, simple, like kind of antique, kind of gold ring.
I'm like round cut, four prong gold band. Oh, so this is totally. Like, can I say that enough? Like,
and
I
then think you can platinum, add to it. You can like, I love the stacking. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe each year you buy, maybe you get me a gold, rose gold 1 year.
And chic, that is chic,
super chic-y.
I love that. So I don't know if you guys listened a few weeks ago, but we got a girl call in saying that she had a friend, however you want to take that, who was seeing a guy who. There was like a mutual guy friend of theirs, and he had his backpack snooped through by this friend who was dating him. And what he had in there was a prescription for a medication commonly used to treat herpes. So I totally supported her and just said that basically like I would snoop too, but what she really needs to do is just like speak to this man about STDs before she sleeps with him, because it's a normal conversation to have with someone before you fuck them. And if it's not in your world, then you should start doing that, because HPV is real and a lot of people have it. And if you don't have the vaccine, which you probably don't, you sound like 24 or something like that. I don't even know if you're eligible. Yeah, you just like got to do that. So here's our update from her.
Hey, Malls, it's Gina. I had the herpes backpack question. Thank you for your advice. This is just an update on what happened. So I told my friend to have that adult conversation, and she did have that adult conversation, just asked me about sexual histories. And as far as she can see, or as far as he told her, he's always used condoms and he's clean, but that doesn't explain what the pills were. So I think everything's good, but we're still wondering what those mystery pills are. Okay, well, thanks for your advice. Bye.
I mean, it sounds like he's lying.
Yes, Courtney, it does sound like he's lying. You just don't, I mean, look, I've tried to get a lot of prescriptions from doctors just for like fun or like for, cause you know, whatever, it would aid in anorexia or like whatever it is I wanted to do at that time. 70% of the country is on prescription drugs, but one prescription drug I don't know anyone is signing themselves up for is herpes medication. Like, I don't think there's any fun side effects to it. It's not like Wellbutrin where you lose like 20 pounds the first month and then gain it all back. Hi. But I do think that he's lying. It might just be like an oral herpes situation, which isn't really the end of the world. But like if he's going down on your friend, then he has to use like a female condom. And I'm sorry, this is not like a 90s like video, so I don't really understand. Have you ever seen a female condom in real life?
Oh, I feel like it's like saran wrap, maybe.
It looks like a saran wrap tube. Oh, yeah, a dental dam. That's Christina's pointing a note to me that says dental dam on it.
Oh, my God. Thanks, where do you even buy that? Is that like in the saran wrap section?
That face. You're like, oh, like a dental dam. Fuck that. No. Yeah, you buy it at like you buy it at the thing. I don't know. But like you just need to at the store. But like you just. Or Planned Parenthood, but like you, and they'll give you 1,000 condoms at Planned Parenthood for walking through the door. But what you really should just do is probably like dump this guy because he's a liar. Like he's lying about a sexually transmitted disease. Courtney, do you agree?
I agree. Why not? I mean, she should have just called him out and been like, hey, no, dummy, I found them. Or my friend found them. Like she was looking for your yo-yo and your backpack or whatever she was looking for. You know what I mean? But I mean, if she's going to keep seeing him, maybe she really likes him. Use protection. And, you know, guys hate that. There's always guys that just don't want to do it. But, you know, just safety first until you meet the person you're going to be with forever. It's like, just be safe, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. And there will be a guy someday, I'm sure, you're willing to get herpes for. That's my thing, is that I always wonder, I'm like, who are you willing to get herpes for? Because a lot of people like date someone that has herpes, right? And then like they know they have herpes, but they're like, all right, I'll fuck you anyway. So I think that if you're going to like fuck someone with herpes, despite the fact that they have herpes, even though it runs a low risk, I'm not trying to be like herpes phobic or whatever, but if you like have it under control and use condoms. But I just, I think that someday you will meet the man that you're willing to have herpes for, and that man won't be a liar. Right?
Love it.
Okay, next call.
Hey, Walls, it's Jackson again with a burning question that needs your advising. Just a little bit about me again. I'm 28 in suburban Los Angeles, getting in touch with being gay, and I'm hyper crazy focused on my career as a pharmacist. On my downtime, I love long walks on the beach, watching 90s sitcoms, hooking up with boys, and listening to Please Advise. So my question's like this. Oh, I guess my situation's like this. One of my best friends, colleagues, and old classmates is one of those really hot girls that can get any guy they want simply from her looks, but also because she's smart and she's kind and she's just an all-around good person. During our more ratchet years, a.k.a. 21 through 24, she would date these, like, hot, dangerous scumbag guys who were, like, really not good for her. I would get really close to her boyfriends because she and I are good friends, and I would remain acquainted with the guys even after they would eventually break up. One night, one of her exes invited me out, and we did Molly together, and I ended up making out with him, getting a bit touchy-feely, and I ended up sleeping with him. He told me not to tell my homegirl about it, but I'm, like, terribly embarrassed about the situation, so I wouldn't have told her anyway. It's been a few months since that happened, and now the guy's sending me dick pics and sex, and now another one of her exes is asking me to come over and hang out with him. I love all the attention, but I can't help but think, am I being, like, a secondhand shopper? Like, am I being sloppy seconds emotional sponge for this guy? Or for, like, all these guys? Should I keep in contact with these guys? Also, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, how fucked up is it that I haven't told my friend about this yet? I do feel a little bit guilty. What do you think about the situation? What do you think I should do? Anyway, I love your show. Looking forward to your advice. And I think Brad and Angelina should totally sponsor you, because I bought a case of Miraval and I shared it with a ton of my friends. All right. Thanks, Paul. Have a great show.
Jackson, I have three words for you. Deny, deny, deny. No, I really would not tell your friend. And I really just, she doesn't need to know. And I think actually no one needs to know. And the last thing you need to be concerned about is like being emotional sloppy seconds. Like, you are in a world of trouble. And I do enjoy you, Jackson, because you've called before and like you've got like some kind of like fun scandalous drama, and we're going to play one of your calls in an upcoming week that I'm on vacation. But Courtney, I would love to get your input real quickly.
You know what? I think that, I don't know. The dick pics stood out. I don't know if we can talk about that here, but I've definitely had unwarranted, like, you know, dick pics sent to me. And unless you're asking for them, like, don't send them. Like, what is with guys sending dick pics? Like, hello. Right. You know, unless I ask for it, which I probably won't.
Right.
But, you know, if I was him, I mean, if I, you know, I honestly think that you should just kick them all to the curb, you know, but you're not, you know, hey, they like you. But I mean, and you've got your career going, you've got so much going for yourself. Like, why be distracted with these, you know, shenanigans?
But I don't know how you feel about this, but I wouldn't be really too pleased with one of my really good friends if he was friends with all of my exes. Would you?
No, absolutely not. And that's something that would make me feel bad. And sounds like he's already feeling, you know, you're kind of feeling bad about it. So, yeah, no, I definitely think that the, you know, it's time to kind of call it, you know. Like you said, deny. Like, it won't, what people don't know won't hurt them. And, you know, I just think, sounds like a messy situation. And
honestly, I would go to him and be like, I would threaten his life. Like, I would just go to him and be like, look, you fucking freak. We were on Molly one night. We made out. Now you're in love with me. Go find another boyfriend. You understand these are strained circumstances. Like, I cannot stab my best friend in the back. I've clearly already done that enough. And like, go get a fucking life. And if you ever contact me again, I'm going to tell the whole town you're a homo.
I'm going to post that picture you sent me.
Yeah. I would absolutely start like a dick pic Tumblr. It sounds like knowing your life, you could have that. Also, my friend Max and I are planning on making dick pic quilts based off the dick pics that he gets. So if you want, you can send the dick pic to me and we'll include his dick pic in our dick pic quilt that we're going to sell on Etsy. He goes by Fat Gay. Shout out to Fat Gay. I just don't know. I just don't know if I'm like loving this journey for you. I think you need to shut it down, clean it up. I know you're saying your ratchet years were like 21 through 24, but like, sweetheart, let's not act like this isn't a little bit ratchet.
You're 28 now, boo.
Is he 28?
Yeah, he's 28.
Oh, Jackson, time to like clean it
up. And there's Tinder now, and you sound amazing and adorable, you know? Just go out and on to the next one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's like, the world's your oyster. Clearly, you're attractive. We won't give away Jackson's entire situation, but I know we're going to play a call in the future where he's turned another man. So Jackson, you're a turner, like go turn it out somewhere else, please. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Please Advise episode 10. You can please send us your updates at 323-450-7408. That's also where you can leave us messages with your questions, your dilemmas, the juicier, the better. Again, I'd love if you were incested. And check out our guest, Courtney Robertson's book, I Didn't Come Here to Make Friends, Confession of a Reality Show Villain. Villain? You can also check her out on Twitter at Bug Robertson. And we're available on the World Wide Web. Please advise on pretty much any social media platform. Just Google us. You know how to do it. We want to thank the Loud Speakers Network for hosting us and for SoundCloud for like all they do for us. You guys, thanks SoundCloud. You host us. You make our dreams come true. We're also on iTunes. Check us out there. Subscribe. Do your thing. Courtney, do you want to take advantage of our opportunity here, which is to like just blast whoever you want?
All right. Well, hey, speaking of the World Wide Web and social media, lately what's been on my mind is, just living in the moment a little bit more. Everywhere I go, it's like everyone's taking a selfie and everyone's waiting for that next, you know, perfect Instagram. And I just think like when we're on our deathbeds, we're not going to be thinking of that selfie we took at the beach. We're going to be thinking about that day at the beach. And Right. It's something that's, you know, I need to work on too. I'm always, you know, taking photos and sapping away, but I'm looking around at dinner and everyone's on their phone. It's like no one's talking, and that's kind of how I feel about that. Just a little friendly reminder. It's totally addicting, but you know, everyone might go blind someday.
You're so true, by the way. Like, what about like, well, just in terms of being present, that's so important. But like
wherever
what
you is are, try to be all there.
Yes.
It's like, you know.
And it's a practice. Like you have to continually like it's try like harder
yoga.
To do
it's
that.
It's like a yoga practice.
Absolutely.
Just try it. And we all get, it's a pattern. It's a habit. It's like a bad habit. It's like anything. Like you want to give up. It's, you got to flex that muscle. And I just look around and I'm, you know, I grew up in an age where it was AOL dial up and I was in chat rooms and like I only was allowed like an hour a day to do homework. And now I just feel like it's like I see kids on their iPads at dinner and I just, you know, maybe that's just the old fashioned girl in me, but I just don't see people talking a lot. And, you know, hey, the selfies can wait. Put the selfie on hold.
Absolutely.
I see people driving, girls, just, and I'm just laughing. I see girls in the produce section at Whole Foods taking selfies. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, just pick out your bananas.
Absolutely. And you're right, though, girl, because, like, when you're on your deathbed, like, you're not going to, like, think back to, like, your selfies. And, like, that's so interesting to think about, like, a day in which, like, at the end of a movie when the montage of that person's life is happening and, like, it's going to be out of date for them to, like, have any actual moments in their life.
Yeah.
So interesting. I just saw that piece of shit Zach Braff movie the other night. Did you see that?
Which one?
I was here.
No, I wanted to see that.
Oh, it's such a hunk of shit.
Is that the one with Adam Levine and Keira Knightley?
No. That's the opera one. Is that like an opera? What is that? Once or something? I don't know. It's some piece. They're all pieces of shit, in my opinion. This summer has been a real, real bummer for me in terms of movies. I like to go. I enjoyed Lucy. I did. I'm going to admit it. It was like a nice female-oriented action movie.
I'm into it. Yeah, I'm going to go see that. I want to see Guardians of the Galaxy. I've heard amazing things.
Mm. Yeah, I don't. Is that like an action thing?
I think it's like totally like one of its like own kind, you know? But everybody, I see it on Twitter. It's apparently amazing. I know the guy that made it, so.
Oh, you do?
Maybe I'm partial.
Oh, yeah. No, we like love that movie. Oh, it's a Marvel thing. Okay. Well, I guess I'll go see that.
Yeah.
Christina's so tight with the notes. Christina just brings in the notes. Maybe it's a chic bob. She's always been good at this, but it might be
really
the chic bob.
Really good on like Jeopardy, I think.
Yeah, Christina would be good at that.
And other things, of course.
But, yeah, no, yeah. She's good at everything.
I don't think that quickly, you know?
No, not at all.
Fun facts for days.
I saw the movie. That's why I know what it is.
Okay. Oh, you did? What, do you like it?
I loved it.
She loved it.
Christina loved it. She's obsessed. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Have a good day and fuck off.